Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of April, recording at 9:25 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, what an exciting day in the markets. But then most of them are, aren't they? But this one was especially exciting. Now, starting with stock markets, we had a mixed performance in Asia. I think South Korea, Malaysia, India, Japan, all a little bit firmer, Hong Kong a little bit softer. Those are extensions of the trends that we've seen recently. And the European markets opened up a bit, came down, and were mostly down, and then, but not a lot, and then rallied as Wall Street came in, reversed some early losses, and really moved upwards quite sharply. Now, I think the main factor that was concentrating people's minds was that after their scare, as far as Alan Greenspan's comments were concerned on Tuesday, yesterday his words were a little bit more reassuring. Basically, I think the main comment, as I mentioned on the website, was that there was neither evidence of a deflationary problem nor an inflationary problem at this stage. But as I said, you've got to look behind the scenes here. Look at what some of the other Fed governors are actually saying, and because they're more concerned about inflation, and I think we probably need to be because the Fed has certainly targeted inflation. But at any rate, the markets were very happy to seize on the more favorable side of possible interpretations. And so we had an awfully impressive rally on Wall Street here today, and of course that lifted the European markets, but they closed well before we saw the best gains on Wall Street, so I would expect that to establish a firm tone in both Asia and Europe tomorrow. Now, looking at the U.S. action, we had the Dow close up nearly 144 points. It'd been up 175 at one stage, 1586 on the S&P, 37.28 on the Nasdaq, so it makes my shorts of yesterday, and I added a little bit to my FTSE short, but while it was on the upside, but still 20 points off its high, it closed up nearly 32 points in here today. It makes my short hedging policy, and I've actually shorted enough to put me a bit net short, look a little bit silly under the circumstances, but we're still up here near some pretty important resistance areas, so while I'm not thrilled to see the strength of this move here on Wall Street, I think there's still a good chance that we would see some to-ing and fro-ing, some resistance up here at near former highs against the background of an overall overbought condition. So I'm going to hold in here with what I've actually got for the time being. But needless to say, a rally of this magnitude today on Wall Street is not the sort of script that I had envisaged in here, so it questions the overall strategy. Well, what do we got elsewhere? And bond markets. Now, I did cover my short in the U.S. Treasury bonds. As I said in my comment, that was a very good gain, but truth to tell, it was really just a little more than offsetting the losses that I'd rolled forward on a premature shorting of the March contract. Of course, I was coming out of the June contract in here today. I didn't do it particularly well, or so it didn't seem, because the range on the day was 117.16. Now, let me get this right. The range for June 30-year Treasury bond futures today was 107.16 to 108.12. Now, they closed at 108.10. This was a spread bet position for me, and they've got a 5-point spread on the bonds. So I actually came out at 108.04. Now, as I said, the chart has shown a loss of downside momentum, and you can see that. So I'd be delighted to see a rally in here. The bigger, the better. I don't expect it to go back and test the highs that we saw last month, but to get a third of the decline, let alone a 50% of the decline retracement, well, I would certainly commence shorting again, probably on a baby steps basis in the event of a move like that. As I say, we're still in the top building phase here, but I maintain this is a bear market and for the treasury bonds. And also, as you know, I took that profit in my JGBs trade, where I've done a little better overall. I took that profit earlier in the week, or was it last week? Can't remember. Now, in the currency markets, we had the euro weakening further still today, getting down to 117.81, but then it bounced against the dollar, and we're currently 119.10, and that's really quite interesting. It's not an upward dynamic, but that's an interesting turnaround against that background of Wall Street strength. The dollars, however, I have to say overall that there's still no evidence that the dollar's rally is over. But I've tended to regard this, certainly against the euro, as a medium-term rally. And we've seen this going on for at least a couple of months in here now. It's a gradual rally. As I say, it's not over. But the dollar's moving up more slowly than it came down. In other words, the euro is falling more slowly than it went up. So it suggests to me that we're going to go back at some stage and test the highs or get quite close to it in euro dollar. But I'm not yet ready to call the low on this particular downward reaction. It's all been part of a ranging lower process. Other position, I've only got one currency position right now, and that's the euro yen. That's in my dogs of the portfolio category, but it's within less than a yen of my entry point here at 130.34. It's having a good day. It's up 82 ticks as I actually speak. Now, the bigger drama has really been in the metals sector, and we've had a bit of a bloodbath in here. And this is really, first, it's fascinating. It is not atypical. You know, you go back to all the metal cycles, and these tend to be thin markets, and when they move on the upside, they can move explosively, as we've seen, go further than anybody expected. But anything that moves up that fast can also come tumbling back down just as quickly, because there are a lot of speculative positions in those markets aside from them actually being thin markets. And I think what we're seeing here is the panic of the hedge funds, and it looks like a little bit like the buffalo crossing at the Ganges. You know, it's pretty messy here. So I'm awfully glad to have been out for the most part and to have sold into those earlier rallies. The one where I have been buying, though, over the last 2 days on a baby steps basis, is in the silver. Now, I'm just going to relay a little bit of a conversation that I had with Owen Tracy, who, of course, as you know, is the Fuller Money Forum editor. And Owen, on seeing that I was buying the silver with those baby steps orders in the market, I'd had them in the market for a while, and they started at to 655 and went right down to 605, and they've all been filled over the last 2 days. And Owen's comment, and you must forgive the language on this, but this was a private conversation, and he's really a very polite guy, as you know. But he said, it takes balls to buy something in free fall. To which I replied, well, anyone can have balls in the markets, metaphorically speaking, but if that's all we have, we go bust. So hopefully what we do is based on common sense, and we can justify it objectively on the basis of technical and fundamental criteria. Well, will my latest silver trade proved to have been sensible or unduly masochistic, let alone resemble another charge of the Light Brigade? I obviously don't know yet, but just as the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, I'll soon find out. Meanwhile, the silver price has fallen 30% from the high that it actually seen on the 2nd of April. Now, I mentioned also in my comment that I'd put in a couple of additional purchase orders Silver right now is, well, I've got an average price off to the spread bet costs. I've got an average price of 631. I notice it's trading after hours in here now at 614 and a half. So that's up 10 off the close on the day. Now, with hindsight, some of you would say, well, it would have made much more sense to have stayed out on the market and not come in until it got to $6. Well, actually, it didn't get to $6, but until it stopped going down. Well, that will be true if the market doesn't move back upwards in yayo fashion. It's fallen fast enough so that I would expect when we actually do get a low rather than the so-called dead cat bounce, that we'll get a quite sharp move on the upside, and that will enable me to lighten some of those positions and hopefully be able to play the volatility. Now, a lot of these other metals have really been hammered here in the short term. For instance, palladium, and I just hope those of you who'd followed me into palladium, I hope that a fair number of you are able to get out not too far off. A little, well, hopefully better than the price I sold, which is at 325 and a half after my spread bet dealing costs. But that got down to as low as 254 in here today and bounced, closed at 273.80, and there's a good bit of tail on the chart, and it'd come right back to a level of support. Had I seen that at the time, and had I not had the silver operation going on, I might well have been tempted to come in there and buy a little bit. I probably can resist the temptation to be attempting to catch more than one falling knife at a time, though, in these markets. But what I want to say overall is that this reversal of positions by hedge funds, well, these coming out of long positions by hedge funds, and those who have mechanized, basically sort of moving average type systems, a number of them may well have actually established short positions, and it's brought most of these metals back to some very, excuse me, very, very interesting levels. That doesn't mean they can't fall a bit further here in the short term, particularly if we get the dollar rallying a bit further, but they're getting interesting because we've corrected some of those very overbought short-term conditions and how. Now, the fact that the moves were so sharp probably means that aside from an initial bounce, we may get a lot of ranging. I would expect that to be the norm rather than the exception, and that would be part of we'd see a renewed support building phase in a number of these. I think only those that, for whatever reason, capture the speculative public's imagination most quickly will move back up very rapidly in a yo-yo fashion. Okay, and then crude oil, back to dogs of the portfolio here. That had a rather good day in here today and has pushed my July crude oil purchase back up into profitable territory. I probably ought to take the gain on that. As I said, this is a political situation. I haven't done anything here yet. It's also firmed the natural gas, where I have a slightly bigger position. And I think that's pretty much it. Oh, except to say that you may have noticed that the audio is now available in an MP3 format. Now, of course, you continue to use the Real Audio Player if that's what suits you. But a number of people who perhaps did not have broadband or lived in remote places and did not have the best of internet connections, it's a lot easier to download the file from MP3 than go through the streaming process, as it's called, to use the Real Audio Player. The MP3 quality of sound is almost as good as the Real Audio Player. And of course, people can load it onto their MP3 players and listen to it in the car or whatever else they're doing. And it's just another Fuller Money Fuller Markets rather feature development, and I hope to have more of those before too very long. All the best.